tragic for weekend Packers, then we love to go with golf. And I think
I showed you guys that on the weekend.
Yes, you did. We'll get to that shortly.
All right, guys, welcome to episode 45 of the Golf Days Australia podcast, sponsored by Cobra Puma Golf, Dint Putters, Session Set, Net Return Australia, broadcasting to all good major podcasting services. Remember to smash that follow button and hit us up with a five-star review where you can. I'm back in the saddle, gents. Had a couple of weeks off while you guys kept us going in great form. What'd I miss?
He's back, DP. Hey. Firstly, you know we've got 7 five-star reviews on Google Podcasts, and I reckon they came this week after DP and I took over last week for a double episode. DP, what are you reckon?
Not a fucking chance. We
they were definitely not. I think the one stars are coming now.
You can't leave a five-star review on Spotify.
Yeah, I know. Sucks, right? Spotify, fix your shit up.
Everyone uses Spotify. I mean, no free ads, but how good is it?
I do like myself some Spotify. I have to nab it off the young bloke every now and again. He's listening to his own music and I start cutting in. But, yeah, I do like some Spotify. And, yeah, I wish you could do reviews on there as well.
On Spotify, I got my 2020 wrapped up information the other day. And it had like number one podcast listened to.
What was it?
We weren't even in the top 10 of my.
Oh, really?
Nah, the missus has taken over. Seriously, the missus takes over my Spotify and it is just full of educational garbage.
Yeah, okay.
So that's my thing for next year. Golf Days Australia will be number one. Don't worry.
I sent mine to yours. You saw what my number one podcast was, didn't you?
I didn't.
No free ads. Do you want me to tell you?
No.
Why not?
What is it?
I'm not telling you.
You're an idiot. So yes, it's good to have you back, Steve. Is what
I was going to say. Do I have to pull you guys apart? Are you arguing already? Yeah, all good. All right, gents. So let's get into it. We had some PGA Tour back on. So the PGA Tour wrap up brought to you by Session Set. Read it out, Nate. Let's hear about Session Set.
Yeah, mate. What is it again, DP? Sessionset.com.
.com, not .au, .com.
I'm all over it at the moment. I've been on there today, so I've just ordered a couple of cases for Christmas. I've got the family coming out. I've got some presents that I want to do. Yes, let's crack one open now. So, yeah, I've bought a couple of cases ready to go to have the family over and to rip into some ales. I've got the ales mix case, as well as the subscription for the brother-in-law as well. But I've got a Capital Brewing, the Rockhopper IPA again tonight, and I love this one. 6.1%. It gets you a little bit, this one.
Yeah, I do like that Rockhopper. I've got none of those left, but I've got the Jetty Road Brewery Pale Ale. I actually haven't had this one yet. This one's a 1.4 standard drinko. Let's get into it and see how it
goes. Yeah, and massive shout out to Shano. Shano's doing his equivalent of 4 marathons in 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. So he completed his first big one last week. So massive shout out to him. He's trying to raise some money for type 1 diabetes family center out there. So, mate, keep chugging away at those Ks, buddy. We're following along. So pretty proud of you.
Yep, I'm on call, boys. So I'm on the sparkling minerals.
Yeah. We'll have to get you an alcoholic case, I reckon. We'll hit up Shano. The hottest thing off the shelf.
Might be a niche market there. Just like the sparkling water alcohol is a big thing at the moment. The seltzers or whatever.
Seltzers. What's that?
Maybe that's your thing, but maybe you need the sparkling water, just a non-alcohol case for you, DP.
Nah, just water, mate. It's part of the keto diet that I'm on.
Keto.
Let's get into the PGA Tour and not DP's diet.
See, this is how we ended up with 2 episodes last week, by the way. It's because we just dribbled for 2 hours.
I know.
Anyways, if you got through that, thank you for listening to last week's 2 episodes.
So we had the Mayakoba Classic, or as I like to call it, the El Tucán Classic, after Matt Kuchar's infamous win there last year. Victor Hovland getting the job done, which effectively breaks the Puerto Rico Open curse as well. But pretty wet over there in Mexico, made for some lawn dart action. Players were attacking the pin from everywhere. No, it would just stop on a dime. But what were your takes, gents?
Mate, like you said, the curse is no more. So the first person I think about when the curse is no more is hopefully that means good news for Tony Finau. Mm. We'll talk about him in a second, but he spent more time in the mangroves than the fairway over the weekend. And look, hopefully that curse is done and Tony can get a win because he's another standard top 10 for Finau. But I love Victor Hovland. I've always been a massive, massive fan of him. I just think he's just cruisy as he... He looks stoned half the time. His eyes are like mine. They're half closed. He does has this weird face when he's looking at his ball in the distance. And, mate, he played solid. He's a great young kid. And I put him in my team for the tipping this week. I spew and I didn't pick him to win it. But I'm always cheering for Victor Hovland. So great to see him have a victory down there.
Yeah, do enjoy watching him play golf. It's a no-nonsense. He just gets down to business. It's really great to watch. But yeah, I do agree. He does look like he's stoned half the time. He's got his face, red cheeks going and his eyes are closed over a bit, but not speaking from experience. Does tend to look like that. But I reckon...
Might be on the CBD Chewy or something like Phil Mickelson and that, eh? See?
Could be.
He's got that going.
I reckon it's the chlorine in the pool. I reckon he just went past.
It is the chlorine in the pool.
It's the chlorine in the pool. That's what it is.
Is that he's always got a name, was it, DP?
That's what I needed the clear eyes for. A couple of drops of clear eyes fixed everything. But he's always got a step in his spring in his step and a smile on his face, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Whatever he's smoking, who cares? We need characters like him.
Yeah, I love it, love it. He was so good afterwards with his interview as well, and he was brilliant.
Yeah, how good is it for Tony? Do you reckon he is thinking of it? The curse is lifted. Do you reckon he thinks
100%? Yeah, that guy has nightmares about the Puerto Rico Open every single night he goes to bed. He's had that many top tens, and just I know we should give Hovland some more time, but Tony he sprayed him everywhere off the tee. Driver, 3-wood. He's back 9 over the weekend. I worked out today. He was 4 over. The front 9, he was 10 under. Like he was starting round 3, round 4 on fire. And then just the back 9, he was just not missing the fairways by a bit. He was literally putting them in the mangroves. And if you saw it, they mentioned his white pants today. He wore white pants and half of them were brown by the end of 18 holes because he'd spent that much time in the mangroves. So, actually, it was interesting. They showed him afterwards. He got straight on the range. So as soon as he finished, he jumped onto the range with that 3-wood and I guess that 3-wood and probably driver and just tried to work some things out because, for him to have a top 10 and play so bad with that off the tee is pretty incredible in its own. So, Tony.
Bagged
the curse is lifted.
Bagged an ace on the weekend. Yeah. That was a brilliant ace too. It pitched and spun back straight in the hole. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah,
Saturday morning, he had that ace and you're just thinking, okay, this could be Tony's run here. And at the same time, you had JT just firing birdie after birdie after birdie and having a 63 as well. And you thought it was going to be the JT-Tony show, but Victor held strong. He had a couple of people nipping at his heels and... Mate, he was just solid. That birdie on 18 to ice it was incredible.
20 under, he finished on.
You ever seen a bad ace?
Probably. Not really? Not in PGA Tour. I've seen it's a few.
Never a bad ace, mate. One on a card. Don't matter how it gets in there.
You've seen Fuzzy Zellers. There's a Fuzzy Zeller that drives out the back, hits a tree or whatever, and it gets hung up on the rough. And then all of a sudden, as he's walking down there, halfway down there, it just trickles out of the rough. And then it just trickles onto the green. Crowd starts cheering and just bang, straight in there. That's not how you draw it up, but it's a good one.
I had a birdie not too dissimilar to that on the weekend. We'll get to our own games a little later. But, I hear you, DP. There's no such thing as a bad ace. It counts as a one on the scorecard. How good does the number the fourth look there as well? That's a brilliant looking hole out to the ocean. Awesome.
That course surprised me. I mean, I probably haven't paid much attention to it in the past, but like Mangrove City, and it was soft, so they had the lift clean in place, which kind of sucks for a PGA event. Anytime they got lift clean in place, but that layout is. is pretty special and a really cool looking course. And you just kind of wish to see it in a fast and dry conditions would be great golf. Like they still, you know, 20 under is great golf, but it was lift clean and place and it was soft. So really it could have been 28, 27, 29.
How many shots do you think the lift clean and place takes off the score?
Huge. There was one, I think it was yesterday in Saturday's round, round three, Sunday over here, but Tony Finau hit it into the mangroves, got a relief because it was embedded and then got a two-shot drop and got to drop it like outside near the edge of the mangroves and got to get it back on. So it saved him a couple of shots. So it definitely would have saved a heap of people.
Yeah. But yeah, pretty wet. Like some of those shots hitting the greens, they were just landing and just staying in their divot or their pitch mark, if you want to call it, which I don't know what we want to call it these days. But yeah, it's landing and then plugging and not moving at all. It was pretty wet over the weekend. We had some Aussies.
Every ball
over
had
as well.
earth on it.
Earth.
Organic matter. Organic matter.
Every ball had organic matter on it.
Why do you call it lift, clean, and drop when it's just called preferred lies, right?
I said lift, clean, and place.
Lift, clean, place. Why do you call it lift, clean, place when us Aussies just call it preferred lie?
Because that's what the PGA
don't call know.
It, lift, clean, place.
Yeah, it doesn't mean they're right. Doesn't mean they're
the actual
right.
Rule. I don't know if it's referring to an actual rule.
Here we go. It's just what our SEPO mates call it, right? Us Aussies
there might be a difference between a preferred lie and a lift clean and place. There might be, you know, when you get to, you might not be able to clean your ball in certain things, but you get to move your ball out of an embedment, but maybe not clean it, and maybe you have to move it. I don't know.
Did you just call it embedment?
You're asking questions without doing any research.
Embedment out of the embedment. I watched no golf this weekend, boys, so I'm just sniping from the sidelines. You know that, right? But it's preferred lies. It's dead set preferred lies. They can call it whatever they want, but preferred lie.
So, DP, what do you think of his bunker shot on 16? That was pretty incredible.
Amazing. I just told you I watched no golf. You know, try and keep up, Nate. It's not that hard. I got tagged in something today. It was Ricky Fowler almost getting a hole in one on a par four. Like, oh fuck, I watched that. Oh wow. And then realize it's from 2015. So I watched dead set no golf. He didn't even make the cut.
He didn't make the cut.
He had a double par. I was a bit late in posting that, but I did notice it round one. He did post that he had a quad and he had a low score. He still had a sub par round for the 18, and I've gone through gone. Quad, please be on a four. Please be on a four, and it was. Poor Mike. I love.
And you
Ricky.
Put it up 5 minutes ago. You've dropped the ball. What's going on?
Big weekend, Nate. Big weekend.
Hey, even Steve Holmes made an appearance on your Insta wall.
Yeah, Steve. That was a good one. Yeah, last week.
Oh yeah, last week he did. Yeah, yeah. Slow on content. Yeah. If you have a look, I put Ricky's.
That's what I'm saying. What's going on?
Put Ricky's on about 20 minutes ago, and put me own one on me story about 10 minutes ago. I had three. But anyway, we'll get to that.
Any double pars in the South African Open or over at Dubai? Oh, he's gone.
Oh,
We've lost him.
Oh no, he's back. Hold on. Yep, no, there he is. He's back.
No comment.
Hard to say, really.
Any other takes from the PGA, from the Mayakoba?
I got to say that like Aaron Wise was quite unlucky. He was nipping at the heels and basically finished at 19 under as well. He had a really good look on 17 and just missed a putt there, which would have taken him to 20. And then he had a putt for another birdie on 18, which just stayed left the whole way. So he said it was one thing I was interested in. He said he was up putting in his hotel room the night before and found something from putting in the hotel room. So yeah, I've always wondered if, you know, putting on carpet and just trying to get that rhythm is useless or if it's worth, but maybe he had a rollout mat in there, but it sounded like he was just, you know, slamming balls down the hallway and he found something. So Aaron Wise was there. Long was there as well. Adam Long was there with a chance, and then he sent it into the hazard on 17 and that crushed him. Actually, DP, they had like, it was interesting. They had all the mangroves, but a lot of them were hazards the whole way down. It was like Barn Bugle with the Irish drop. Would have saved you.
Can you go back to slamming balls down the hallway. That sounds like an interesting weekend. Can you expand on that one, Nate?
He said he was putting in the hallway of the hotel.
And your take is he was slamming balls down the hallway. Yeah, well done.
Moving on. What about JT, Nate?
Yeah, like I mentioned before, his round of 63 was insane on the round three. But he said he had the worst 67 anyone could shoot on round two. He played so well and had a 67 and said it was horrible. So couldn't get it going today. I thought he was going to kind of give it a run on the back of that 63, but he didn't get there. And Max Homer had a massive run as well. I think yesterday and today, I think there was a span of 10 holes where he was 11 under or something like that as well. So, yeah, a few of the boys getting on a roll, but that's it for the PGA this year. Done. Dunzo. Zip.
That's it.
Hey, something's going on there.
My ladder just fell over. It's all good.
What about that? Well, I notice you skipped over Harris English. I'm just looking at the scorecard. He went all right, top five. Mate?
Yeah.
He did go all right. But see, the whole funny thing with Harris English and me picking Harris English all the time, just it left when the king left us. Where is the king?
Yeah, he was a good Harris English fan. Loves the old English.
How's English, though? He started with a bogey and then he's had nine under for the rest of the round. He's had an all right round, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's incredible. And to have that kind of start, that's yeah. He's had a breakfast ball.
Round of the day with Wise.
So, yeah.
Wise should have come home a bit stronger. Like, it would have been awesome to see a playoff between him and Hovland. Hovland just sunk that birdie putt on the 18th to put it without doubt, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I've got to say that's one of the times that I was happy there wasn't a playoff, because I was more than happy for Victor Hovland to win. So yeah, I was stoked for him to get the victory. But like I said, that's it. PGA done. It's kind of an anticlimactic finish to the year. You look at, like, we're going to talk in a second about the race to Dubai, and they've got their big finish this weekend of the season, and that kind of makes sense. At the end of the year, you have your big event at the end, but PGA just finishes like that, and then we jump to January when we've got the Tournament of Champions over in Hawaii.
Yeah, I think it can tend to make sense given the weather over there over this coming period as well. So they have to sort of head to pretty far out places if they want to keep playing, like Mexico, that is, anyway. But we had a few Aussies in there. None of them really made the cut, but Aaron Baddeley was there, Ren Gibson, Leish, Cameron Percy. Or who was it that withdrew? Cameron Percy withdrew, but the others missed the cut as well. But yeah, good to see some Aussie action nonetheless.
Do we want to just touch base on the FedEx while we round out the end of the PGA for 2020?
Please, I wouldn't know what to do for the next 4 weeks.
I don't know. DJ's still number one, but Victor's
going to make a guess
third.
That Hovland jumped up a fair way. That's my guess.
57 places? 57 places?
He's third now. Like that. Yeah, I don't know where he was before.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's gone up 57.
He would have been equal 100 with everybody else.
Who would have thought that Stuart Sink would finish 2020 in fourth on the FedEx rankings? That's pretty good, right?
I think you called him out last week in the podcast when we previewed, didn't you? I'm pretty sure you did. Or was it Steve Stricker?
Stricker was returning, yeah. Sergio's 10th in the FedEx. I think it's fantastic.
Do we all know who's
on the bubble?
Move on.
Around the Grounds, brought to you by Dint Putters. We had the LPGA Tour, Volunteers of America Classic, Old American Golf Club, Texas. What have we got here? Won by Angela Stanford. Is that what happened last week?
No idea.
Come on, Nate. Angela Stanford, 7 under.
All I know is Christy Kerr got injured in a golf cart accident prior to play, and that was that's what I was reading about. So, yeah, she was looked after for spinal injuries and whatnot, but she was okay. She got cleared, but yeah, pretty bit of a scare over there for Christy Kerr. The old golf cart accident. You know of any good golf cart accident stories?
Oh, no. No, I don't actually. None like in person. I've seen plenty online on the old Insta webbies.
My mates rolled a golf cart down at Calderwood. My bucks and my groomsmen were all out there, and I was odds on. They always thought I was odds on to be the first one to ever roll a golf cart, and the most sensible bloke in the group, Joshy, rolled it straight over the top of my mate Rob, and we had to pull that off him. It was okay. Got that back all in one piece. And then I know of another guy who accidentally hit the accelerator instead of the brake and went over the wall at a course in Sydney that will go unnamed, and he flew off, and it was probably about a 2-metre drop down into the car park, and totally wrote off the golf cart there, and we will never be returning.
Yeah, well, that's...
had nothing to do with the 4 million beers he'd had.
What golf course, mate? You got to tell us what course that was. Come on.
Oh, I'll look, listeners, if you're here at the end, I might let you know at the end of the podcast. If you like that key word.
So what did they sting out? What are they? Is there like an excess?
He had to pay for a full cart. Actually, another one down at Kembla Grange, me and my mate Ginge. I was doing the funny thing where I'd like, he was in the passenger seat, and I'd run him into the bushes and it'd like flick him and shit. And funny. So then I got in the passenger seat and he thought, I'll do it to him. He didn't see that there was a sawn off tree that was coming out, a big branch that was coming out, that was sawn off. We both saw it the last second. It went straight between our heads through the Perspex front, ripped the roof completely off the cart, and nearly killed us. And then we had to fold back over the roof of the cart and hold on to it and go back at Kembla Grange Golf Course. Never charged him. That was like 15 years ago. Never charged him.
Yeah, wow.
They said they were going to. They got his details. Said they were going to. Sorry, Ginge. Nobody knows who Ginge is, so it's all good. But he's probably got a $4,500 bill outstanding.
Duct tape works magic.
I'm just, old mate had to buy a new golf cart at the club that you refused to name. Did you get to keep the damaged one? Like, if you're paying for a new one, you get to keep the old one, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't think he wanted anything to do with it.
Because batteries are like a couple of grand for batteries. Could have savaged them.
True.
Self-confessed tight ass. Yeah. All over the
biggest tight ass for sure.
So, but anyways, back to it. We had the LPGA, Volunteers of America Classic, Old American Golf Club, Texas, won by Angela Stanford at 7-under by 2 shots. We had Ty Levin, Suo, Minji Lee, +2, Sarah Kemp, +2, Hannah Green, +3, and tied 25th, Catherine Kirk. So a few Aussies getting in amongst it. Tied 19 was Minji Lee. Tie 11 was Suo. So yeah, some half decent results there from the Aussies leading up to the major event, which we'll get into a little bit later on as well. We'll have a bit of a preview of the Women's US Open. And then we had the 2020 South African Open. And who won it, mate?
Christiane Bezuidenhout.
Glad you got that one out of the way now.
Christian Bezuidenhout. He had back to back. We talked about him last week, DP, and the story of him and his life, and you know, drinking rat poison when he was a kid and the stutter and everything else. And he's gone back to back, and it was just, he dominated today, won by 5 shots over there over Jamie Donaldson. And he got, you know, he's a South African winning the South African Open at Yarri Player Country Club over there at Sun City. And another great course. It'd be fantastic to go and play in South Africa one day. But the Zeldenhout.
I love how you say it. How does he say it like it's something strange? A South African winning the South African Open. Fuck, I bet it's not the massive, first time it's happened.
It's like the Mayakoba Classic and no Mexicans winning it. It's like the Aussies winning an Australian Open. Like when we've got all the internationals and you've got Abe Anser winning and you've got Jordan Spieth winning those guys. So it's to win your own national title, I think it's pretty special to push that.
It's special, but it's not rare. Like South Africa have had some good golfers, right?
Okay, so how many South Africans have won the last 10 years of the South African Open, if you're going to make that comment?
I don't care about the South African Open, but you disprove my statement wrong, can you? Ernie's won it, for sure. Ernie Els has won it.
In the last 10 years.
Yeah, for sure. And that other South African bloke.
Maybe Gary Player, do you reckon he's won it in the last 10 Player, years? Gary
Player? No, not the last 10. But that other one, Miguel Jimenez, he's South African, isn't he?
So, Bazenhout earned
a win. There'd be a Jamie Donaldson in there for sure.
Taking the victory easily with four rounds in the 60s, finishing on 18 under 270. Dylan Fratelli, Dean Burmester, and JC Ritchie made it four South Africans in the top five. And they finished third, fourth, and fifth, respectively. Austin Bautista of the Aussies tied 40th, plus two.
Four out of the last 9 years, just to let you know, have been South African.
Four out of the last 9 years, and four in the top five this year.
How good's that? See, that's who won the 10th one, though? Well, it couldn't go back to 10, they had to stop at 9.
Oh, that was a South African.
so five out of the last 10.
50%. So. Anything else from around the grounds at all, guys? Anything from the Dubai?
Over at Dubai, Rosner, he got his maiden victory over there. So he's been close a couple times this year as well, but that was at Jeremiah Golf Estate in Dubai, which is same place that they're having this week's, Race to Dubai Climax, the final event over there. Yes, I said Climax, double par, calm down. All right, see your eyebrows lift up. But yeah, he got it done over there. And, there were some big names over there, but there's going to be this week, Dubai is going to be a massive event over there. And they've got some big, big names, including the one and only Patrick Reed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll be tuning into that one.
I just want to fact check young Nate. It's six out of the last 10. And the reason you want to give us 2010 to win awards was Ernie Els. So he has won one in the last 10 years. So
brilliant. I love it.
Yeah.
That would be 11. Can you count?
He's not including this year.
There was two 2020s, if you have a look, February and December, because they're freaking strange in South Africa.
What are you on about?
There are two in 2020. So there was one earlier in January.
Yeah, there was one, not one in 2019, mate, if you try and keep up. Go to Wikipedia. Have a look at Wikipedia.
Still the last 10. Count backwards from 10 from Christian and you'll see. Here he is. Look at him. He's using all his fingers and all his toes.
Oh, yeah. See what you did there. Anyway, whatever.
But that's quick maths for everyone out there. Yeah.
We need a quick math failure. This wouldn't be our podcast if we didn't have a quick math failure.
I like the call out though. I want to just fact check Nate and then gets it wrong.
Anyways.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Anything else from around the grounds?
Nah, we'll move on. I'm done.
We should call it there.
Double par's done. All right. So let's get into some GDA group highlights and the tipping.
Oh, it's happened again.
Oh, BP. He's frozen. He's frozen.
What do we do? What do we do?
Here he comes. There he is.
Where did I get to? What happened?
Tipping, sponsored by Birds of Condor, I think is what you're about to say.
Righto. So, yeah, tipping sponsored by Birds of Condor. Francis James takes the Bickies with a 66 under a one-shot victory over your mate, boys, Jai Lucas Whittle. And, hey!
I missed Jai.
And in the GDA Tour, sponsored by the Golf Factory, Francis also takes home the box of balls. Both he and Fiona Taylor split the cash as they both picked Hovland as well. So that's the tipping round out for this week, sponsored by Birds of Condor and the Golf Factory. Thanks, guys, for your assistance over the last couple of years, handing out some awesome prizes with hats and plenty of golf balls going out there as well. So thanks for your support, guys. Gents, anything for post of the week?
Steve-O, I tune out when you go on that ramble, but what did Jai win?
Nothing.
Oh, God. He lost by one, but it was a shout-out for him. Nothing. Unlucky Jai.
Yeah, no, I just want to rub it in. He won nothing. That's good.
Oh.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. So you were listening, DP. I slipped that in there. You heard me. I
know just because he's got all your money, DP. Yeah. All the dollary dues. Yeah. Have anyone worked out what the currency is down in Tassie yet? We're still after an answer, DP.
I don't care. I don't care because I used your money. It cost me nothing.
Yeah, all right. So, gents, any posts of the week from the group?
Yeah, I'm trying to look for it. I'm trying to find, what about that one where that guy was hitting the golf ball out of the chick's teeth and like hits her in the forehead?
That was a golf
Muse.
Post.
Shout out to Paul Muse for throwing that one on. But
yeah, that was
why? Anyway. I still don't understand why anybody lets anybody hit a golf ball anywhere near their body. I don't get it. It defies belief.
You seen that one where they hits it off his foot, and he flushes it dead set like he's holding it on his toe, and he's wearing
shoot
shoes.
Shoot him
again,
Happy Gilmore. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking.
Or is it like that other Adam Sandler movie where he can't feel his foot?
Can I? I know we normally do post of the week, but can I do worst post of the week?
Okay, we'll have it.
This could be controversial.
It's not controversial. It's from some clown, Stephen, with a PH, Holmes. Hands up if you think Double Pass should get these for his new Cobra One Links. Like, fair dinger. They are leather golf iron covers, and they are the ugliest looking things I have dead set ever seen.
Oh, they are so poor. It's not funny, are they? But you can get them in a range of different colours, DP. Match your golf bag, mate. Your new golf bag.
Do you have a golf bag? I didn't even have to pay for that. Best golf bag ever.
Oh, yeah.
The biggest title. Absolutely. I haven't paid for anything. let's jump to my first word.
Oh, yeah. Right. Let's get on. No. Go. No, I can't say it. It's controversial.
Okay. My post of the week, which got everyone talking, this was a controversial one, is Bradley Vigilante. Is it, that's I don't know if that's his real
Vigilante.
Name. he just threw I don't know. He threw a question on there, just asking what other clubs in Victoria did for their members during the 16-plus weeks that they couldn't play golf. He asked if there was reimbursements, discounts, etc. Thanks. Now, face value, he's just asking what other clubs did. And it turns out a number of clubs in Victoria did offer different reimbursements or discounts or offers or whatever. Everyone was pretty quick to jump on Brad saying that he needs to support his club and get over it and blah, blah, blah. And he wrote some replies in there that probably gave people a bit more to feed into it as well. But it got me thinking about, you know, what we would expect, the three of us, if it happened to our golf clubs, and we were quite fortunate up here that a number of our clubs didn't close. Some of them did, but a lot of them didn't. But 16 weeks of paying member fees is a lot of money to a lot of people. It's also a break, could be a breaking point for a lot of golf clubs as well. So what you know, take did you guys have on that question or that, you know, hypothetical, I guess, if it was your club?
I read it as it was, straight down the line, just asking the question, pure and simple, of what other Victorian clubs have done. Harmless question, or innocent question, not necessarily harmless, but yeah, innocent question. And as you did see in there, there's a couple of comments, one in particular, you know, literally listed out exactly what his club did. And it looked like he was speaking as an employee of the club. So yeah, I I can understand why people were jumping on and saying, well, you should support your club, etc. And I know plenty of people did during that period. But yeah, I don't know what I'd expect out of my club. If I was in a fortunate enough position to be able to continue paying, but I couldn't play, I would do so. And I did that with other things that we were impacted by COVID anyway, and continue to pay because I knew it supported the business and keeping people in paid jobs. So, yeah, I've got no problem in that side of it. And I don't think he did either. I think he was just after what other clubs have done. Pure and simple. DP?
It's interesting. It's, I mean, each club's different. Each club has its own financial balance and sheets and all of that shit. And, I mean, at the end of the day, they're a business, a lot of these clubs, right? And I don't think they run them as non-for-profits. There probably are a lot of not-for-profits out there. And like each club needed to make a decision based on what they could and could not afford. As a consumer, I could see how some people may have an expectation that they get an extension or that their membership's put on hold because you don't want to be paying for something that you're not being able to take a benefit of. And I think probably if we looked into the consumer law, it's probably also illegal. Now, I guess I was fortunate that I wasn't in that position and got to play almost all the way through. I think we only have had 1 week off. So, yeah, look, I can see both sides of the coin. And yeah, you want to support the club, but at the end of the day, are you going to go and pay for a subscription to Netflix? And if it went down for 3 months, just go, oh, well, I want to support them. I'm going to keep paying it. You're not, are you? You're going to expect them to extend that or refund you or do something because you've paid money and you're not receiving what you paid for. So, look, I mean, I think it was a fair question. I think a few of our members carried on a bit high horse-like and got into the poor bastard. I think he was just asking a genuine question just to baseline what other people had done, and I don't think he got shown the respect that he deserved. But, yeah, that's my take, and I hope that made sense.
I'm pretty much in the same boat as you as well. I think if you look at, you know, different things like gyms that closed down that you didn't have to pay for membership for or, you know, holiday bookings that people got refunds for because they couldn't use that service or something like that. I understand. I think it's completely different if it's depending on what financial position you're in, depending on what financial position the club's in, if it's a top tier course, as we've talked about, if it's a local course, it's volunteer based and volunteer run. There's so many variables to it, but I like that somebody put in there that their club gave their members like, you know, three options, and you could either do this, or you could just say it's all good to have my membership. And I think that was the best way that I saw that a club should deal with it. I think it's just that accepting and acknowledging that your members have paid that money and they might be, you know, short of that cash, and that might be a big deal to them. And I think that speaks louder than anything else. So
actually, the actual individual, right? You'd have plenty of individuals there that are in certainly, you know, different financial circumstances.
Yeah.
Lost their job, can't get another, et cetera, et cetera. And obviously then, you know, just don't have the cash to be able to fork over for a membership or yeah, green fees.
Yeah. And look, the government was trying to help not just golf clubs, but lots of businesses like that where they paid JobKeeper and paid clubs money to keep them financially viable through that time. So, as you said, Nate, I think it depends on what the club was doing. I think the Newcastle Knights did something similar with their membership. So, because they had paid season passes, they gave their members three options to roll over to next year or donate to the club or whatever it was. So I think if you give people options, and that's sort of the fair way to do it, and let them make the decision on what, I mean, no one could have predicted this and no one sort of could control it.
Yep. No, good shout out there. I do like that post.
Yeah, good. It was a good post. It gets people thinking.
Yep.
Cool.
Anything else? Any other posts of the week, DP? You got one at all?
No, not really.
Oh, you already shouted out my one there anyway.
I had a shit post of the week. Do you remember that? Do you want to go on to that one?
Yeah, well, that's why I was asking for a post of the week. all right, well, let's get into our own games brought to you by Cobra Puma Golf. How are the new Cobra One Lakes going, guys, gents? I want to hear all about it.
I finally got to use them in a full round, so I'd used them in a couple of nine hole rounds, just a bit of twilight golf action because I hadn't had the chance. But I finally got to use them in a full round. I forgot it was the monthly medal. Turned up, stroke. You see stroke on the scorecard. You're like, oh, okay. So tried to not hold back off the first tee, and my first ball landed on the harness track, the trotting track, which is about 300 meters to the right of our first tee. So wasn't a great start. Started out with a triple, but after there, got it back on track a little bit and set myself a goal of five over on the back and started bogey double, which was great, but had back-to-back birdies and four back. And I had 35 points, which I was stoked with because I felt like with fresh clubs that I don't still know the distances of exactly, you know, trying to figure that out. The feel of the wedges around the green are a lot different. These MIM wedges are, they say they're buttery soft, and they are soft. I'm actually getting check on the ball, which I haven't got before. So just trying to work out that, which I've always wanted check, but when it checks up halfway, you don't want it to hit the handbrake that quickly. So just trying to, feel my way around the clubs, but I'm loving them. I flushed some. I'm finding it interesting at the top end at like the 3, 4, 5 iron, where the 7 iron length, it just feels different, but and trying to get them in that high ball flight, it seemed that they come out a bit lower. But yeah, getting used to it is going to be something that I'm going to have to work on. But I'm stoked with 35 points. But I'm loving the club. So just everyone's commenting on them. My pro found out that I had him. I hope I didn't piss him off by not, you know, because I didn't get clubs from him. But he come out and had a look at him because he's never really worked with one lengths before, and he was interested in it as well. So. Yeah, I'm excited to ride the next 12 months out and see how we go.
I'm curious just at the moment, just quickly on the one length. So where in your feet position do you stand with the ball? So your 7-iron, my 7-iron will probably be just on the side of the back foot, but center just on side of the back foot. What about yourself for all the clubs? Is it the same or do you change your stance?
So far, just inside my front foot is where my driver ball is. My 7-iron like stance, my ball is maybe just an inch forward of center off the middle. So I'm pretty much trying to remind myself before I hit every shot, it's just a 7-iron. It's just a 7-iron. It's just a 7-iron. Just to kind of remember, hey, the ball doesn't have to move. Just keep it in the same spot. I've absolutely flushed some. Some of the things that I've done were just dumb. Like I said, just around the greens, kind of I bladed a couple with my 60 degree because it's a different bounce on it than what I've got with my old bounce. So I've found that is going to be something to get used to as well. Yeah. And just a couple of, you know, wayward drives where I'm not trusting that I can go down the right side of the fairway, and I'm just like, you know, pulling them left instead of trying to start them out right because I'm worried about that old slice that I had. But yeah, it's interesting that just in the middle, and everyone that finds out wants to grab the clubs out and they want to have a look at them, and they're just like, wow, that's so interesting. Like everyone's interested by it. They're not like, that's dumb. Like, why are you doing it? It's more like the curiosity of, okay, how does that work? So especially when I bring out, like I normally grab the 3-iron and I grab the pitching wedge out and I put them next to each other, and you can see the loft is ridiculous, but the length is exactly the same. So that spins people out when they see that in real life, and they kind of stand there with it.
The more and more I think about it, the more and more it makes sense. Like, it just makes sense. I think that reverse psychology of if we all started with same length clubs, and then people started bringing in odd length clubs and said we have to try and hit these differently now, I think people would be up in arms. I think it would be totally opposite of what you just said, where everyone's interested in it. I don't think people would be interested in it if it was the reverse way around, but... I'm looking forward to seeing the journey across the year for both yourself and
yeah, and I've been interested to know if it's something that would work for everyone. At the moment, I'm like, okay, it wouldn't work for everybody, but I don't know by the end of this if I would go, hang on, if everyone did have the same swing, maybe this would work. Maybe it's worth the trial and that. But some people like playing different shots, and they like putting, you know, Bubba Watson could never do that. He wants to play a different swing, a different, you know, shape a ball in this different spot. Whereas this, I think, brings it back to the basics of just getting your swing right and then going from there. But DP may have a different view on his clubs after his weekend.
Shut up, mate. Monthly medals, 104 off the stick, rocks or diamonds. That's all I'm going to say. Oh, I think I've... I'm getting used to them because I am hitting the ball further.
Initial thought,
and I'm interested, Nate, because I know you hit a low ball flight anyway. So for you to say your ball flight's even lower, that's wow. Like, how much lower?
So far, like 3 and 4 iron are like, at the moment, they're like stingers. Like, yeah, they're coming out pretty low. And I don't know if I'm just getting them like off the bottom groove and I'm just getting them pretty thin, which probably would be. It would make sense if I'm getting them thin because it's a shorter shaft length. So my driver is definitely a better ball flight. It's not as high. My driver was higher compared to everything else, but my driver is pretty solid. But yeah, just that 3, 4, 5 iron, I'm finding a pretty low.
Your driver tended to be like a low burner, sort of left to right.
My driver has been everything. There is not. There is literally, yeah. I used the Arcos sensors already before this, and they're built into the Cobra clubs. They've got the Cobra Connect, which is just basically, it's the Arcos sensor in it. And I was looking at my stats, my data from before I started with these clubs, and I looked at my driver stats, and it literally had 20% fairway, 40% right, 40% left. Like, okay, cool. I'll work with that. So, yeah. Hopefully I get some consistency with that, and that's going to be something interesting to see as well, is just to kind of look at that data. And once Double Par works out how to use the sensors and his app and, you know, technology.
I think he could. Yeah. I think he could. Oh, that's the 104 strokes he had.
Nah, I've struggled with setting that up. I think I've got it, but then I don't think I've got it because I'm waiting on sensors for a putter. So I've jimmied it up so it thinks that my sandwich is my putter, just so that it can, do the stroke recognition thing or whatever. What's interesting, flick all that around, Nate. Do you find your wedges, 9 pitching wedges are higher in ball flight?
Yeah, and they feel so good out of the middle. Like, it's ridiculous how much better they feel. But I think that they are higher than probably what I used to hit them. So it's interesting, and I've read a couple of things that says that that's kind of what happens with the one length, but there's not a great deal of info out there on the one length. So I think it's still an area that hasn't been explored by probably a lot of people. So it's fun.
So I'm finding it fun again.
I'm excited to, kind of have that challenge as well. Like, I feel like I've plateaued so much in my golf game that I just would just be meandering along at, 9, 10 or whatever. Somehow I was off 8 this week, which I don't have any idea because, anyways, lost another shot. So another shot down in A grade, DP. Was that your first monthly medal in A grade?
I think it's weird because of our black tees, we get an extra couple of strokes. So I think I was back to B grade.
Oh, yeah, right.
For the monthly medal, which was sort of strange.
Oh, so you haven't had a monthly medal in A grade yet.
No. So, and it was our medal of medals.
You can't be shooting 100 if you're in A grade. Oh,
fucking, I know, right? And it was our monthly, it was our medal of medals, and I'd won a B grade medal during the year. So I'd sort of half hyped myself to give this thing a chance, but did nothing. Yeah. I'm finding that 4-5. I really want to. I don't compress the ball. You guys see me. I sweep the ball. I'm really sort of, I don't even take a divot. But with these one lengths, the longer club, like the 4-5, I feel like I could compress it. Like, it wants me to sort of hit down on it a bit more. It's sort of strange. I'm heaps more confident with those longer clubs than what I was. So nice. I'm going to enjoy it. I just think I need to get a little bit more consistency with the clubs, and that driver, that speed zone though, is so straight. Like, I'm like, Nate, I'll keep playing for a baby fade, but it just wants to go so straight. So,
did you switch out the shaft in the end, or did you
shaft? I've left the shaft in, and I'm getting 20 meters, I reckon, almost. Probably the data's showing me 20 meters on my driver.
Yeah.
So that's
So your sensors are working.
For what he needs to.
The important one is
he put that in manually.
No, I don't. It feels hot. You can just see it.
Like
it
just comes... You've got to trace it yourself.
He comes off that club face so good. And you don't have to swing hard. Like, it's just, I just find myself, just making connection. It just, it's hot. So,
how'd you go, Steve? You had a hit on the weekend? Some stroke action as well?
Yeah, stroke engine action. So, monthly medal. It was actually my first monthly medal for this year. I actually finally got off my ass, set alarms for the T-sheet to open, and got in, booked in with a mate of mine, Kyle, booked in. So, played to net 70, off my lowest handicap ever as well. So I was pretty happy with that. Drained a couple of really lengthy putts. Couple were for birdie too. And actually, for my first birdie of the day, was pretty amazingly shite. So off the 10th tee, first up in the morning, it was a knuckle duster straight off the tee box, and it skimmed the water and popped out the other end. So I was pretty fortunate there. Ended up hitting just a gap wedge up, and then a 7-iron, 158 out with a 7-iron. And it flew the green, hit the tree about halfway up behind the green, and then bounced back onto the green 6 foot for birdie. And,
take
putted it for birdie. I'll take it every day. Ended up having three birdies for the course of the day anyway. So I played half decent. So I was pretty happy with that and, walked away. But I did back up birdies with bogeys or doubles or a triple. I think I had two triples, so it was a color of rainbows, my scorecard at the end of the day. But net 70, happy with that for my first stroke round. So
I love stroke. Stroke's the best. Monthly medal is the best.
I remember you talking about a little while ago around the difference in your play from Stableford to stroke, and if you're playing Stableford, sometimes you'll actually go for that gap through the middle of the tree, whereas stroke you wouldn't. I had one on the 17th, which is the hardest hole on the course, and I look at this gap and it's getting narrower and narrower every time I look at it, and I'm like, nah, I'm not going that. Like if I would have had it straight at the pin, two trees split probably about, I don't know, 15 meters in front of me, and I punched out around and chipped on instead.
So funny you say that. I was playing with a mate, and we're on the seventh hole, and he's like, I got nothing here, but look, let's just see what happens, and I might just wipe it or whatever. And I just sat there and I was like, we have to score on our card stroke and Stableford as well, because everything is still handicapped in Stableford. So I just sat there and I was like, he just got the club out and he went to address. I was like, hang on. I was like, you remember this is stroke. Like, this is monthly medal. He looked at me. He's like, oh, shit, I forgot all about it. Went back to the bag and just punched one out to the fairway. Yeah. So, it's interesting how it makes you play a little bit different. But I just love stroke. I think Stableford can just, you can just settle for 31, 32 points and you probably had 10s or whatever in your score and you just picked up or whatever. And I think stroke just keeps you grounded on what your actual golf ability is.
Yeah, well, that double par I had last week, I purposely played like it was a stroke event and putted out intentionally. So that double par I had a tap-in for five, like inches, tap-in for five on a par three, and dead set almost whiffed it. Gave it a slight nudge and I was like, oh, you fucking idiot.
He's that guy that's holding people up in Stableford because he wants to putt out.
No. That was only one round and I only had one double par. I had one double par
Hey, DP, we forgot to even talk about in the Barn Bugle special about how I saved the double par on the dunes and how shattered you were that I got that up and down. It was the best moment of the Barn Bugle dunes. I tried to putt it through. I putted it through Jai's golf bag at one stage and it went up this hill, came back down, went up the hill, came back down. So he got all excited. He goes, you need to get up and down to save double.
Oh, you shouldn't have told him.
Got it ready. And I got up and down and it just shattered him on the 17th. Yeah.
Look, we don't get, mate, you can't bring up last week's podcast. It was 3 hours worth. If someone wants to go back and listen to it,
it was like the Titanic. It'll be a cult favorite. It'll be a cult classic in the future. The first ever out of bounds series.
It was some classic entertainment, though. Listening to you guys dribble on, it was actually some classic entertainment. I enjoyed it.
Steve, there was four people that listened to it.
I can't wait to watch it. I can't wait to watch it.
We're getting close. The first episode is very close.
Four people listened to that episode. Us three and fucking Jai. Like, we're the only ones that listened to that episode.
Is the footage going to be that weekend? So you start at four play and then go into...
The first episode that will be coming out soon is me finding Double Par in the amazing state that he was in after his Bucks party. No spoilers, but in a great way. Four play. Kawinda. DP just rubbishing people that weren't on his team the whole day at Kawinda. Laughing at Steve for maybe topping the ball on the first hole. This is very 100% mean.
Topped it. Very still mean. Won the hole, but
and then we leave Kawinda, and that's episode one, and then we get to Barn Bugle episode two, and then episode three will be the Lost Farm. But lots of creative editing to be done.
Nate, can we call that episode foreplay? See what I did there? Foreplay.
Yes, I got you. Episode one is now foreplay. I like it.
Yeah, like it? Yeah.
What happened when you get the second base, though? All right. gents, we've got some more golf coming up this weekend. Some pretty big golf coming up this weekend. So We got a major. 75th U.S. Women's Open this week in Houston, Texas at the Champions Golf Club. Now, here's a handy little hint for viewers out there. Instead of becoming familiar with one golf course for the championship, those competing have to learn two golf courses for this championship. So due to the shorter window of daylight in December, they'll play on two courses at the Champions for the first two rounds. So Cypress Creek and Jackrabbit. Then those that make the cut will play Cypress Creek for the remainder of the championship. So you'll play one round at Jackrabbit. But there's some decent differences in the two courses as well. So Cypress has pretty big greens, whereas Jackrabbit's greens are real small. There's a lot of undulation in them apparently. So it's going to be fairly difficult to prepare for the girls heading over there. Like they'll usually get what, two, three practice rounds before getting into it. So they'll have to do their homework. Gents, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm just excited for the girls, and I'm excited for women's golf that they have this stage nearly to themselves. I know we have Dubai over there, but that's, you know, for the European tour, the race to Dubai or whatnot. But largely, there's no other golf on in America over this weekend. You know, a great field that they're going to have as well. A great course. The two course setup, it's funny, we spoke about this, was it not long ago we spoke about, and we don't like the two course setup. And that kind of, when I found out that this was a two course setup, put a bit of a downer for me, to be honest. But great field. The girls have got all the action on their own. I'm excited to watch the US Open.
Yeah, two course setup there. What's going on there?
I feel like
Thursday, Friday they split and play the different courses, and they do get to play both over those 2 days. It's just they could play in different conditions, right? So it could be blisteringly wind or rainy on one day, and then beautifully sunshine the next. I don't know what the weather forecast is like, but it's just what you're up to.
Yeah, as a viewer, but you learn the course over a week. If you're watching for 4 days, you start to learn that course. If it's disjointed, like those first couple of days, it's a little bit, I don't know, it feels weird. But I guess as long as Sunday comes, the setup's going to be good. Hopefully it's a close battle and it comes down to the wire. I'm excited to watch it. Like I said, that I'll be watching the race to Dubai as well because they've got some big names over there. But I definitely I like the women's golf. I think they play amazing, and this is the one that Lee Six won it last year. So I don't know. Any tips? What are we thinking?
DP, you got any tips here?
Yeah. So Yon Ru.
So Yon Ru. Yeah.
Yep.
Good one.
Any insights there?
Well, she's a previous winner of the US Women's Open. Nice. Might have been 9 years ago, but she's won it. And I think she's in really good form going into this week. So, I think she's going to be hard to beat.
Okay, cool. Nate, anything from you?
I would love to see Hannah Green make a deep run. She's playing, isn't she?
Yeah, she is.
This moment of like, fuck, I better not have fucked
up. Wow. What's going on there? Do you need a moment? Like we gave Steve a moment the other week, Nate. Do you want to go and do some research?
I had this moment of like Steph K come back to Australia and I'm just like, oh, I hope that, anyways. But I really want to see Lydia Ko win. I feel like she's gone through crazy turmoil, crazy up and down, the attitude that she's bringing now. I'd love to see her capture another major. And, my pick's Lydia Ko. Lock it in. Or Nelly Korda. But lock in Lydia Ko.
Yeah. The Korda sisters did a cool interview during the week.
Golf Digest magazine, I think.
Have a look. But, gents, I'm tipping Jin Young Ko. To go well after nearly a year away from the LPGA Tour. So she came back last month and placed tied 34 in the Pelican Women's Championship. World number one. I think she'd still be hard to beat to come back for this one. So, yeah, my tip is Jin Young Ko to take it out this weekend. Looking forward to checking out some major championship golf for the women's. And I echo your thoughts there, Nate. It's great to see that they've got, they've got the stage this weekend. Looking forward to getting some of that golf into it.
Definitely.
Any thoughts on the race to Dubai at all? Pretty big field.
Yeah, it is a big field.
The only notable you've talked to before that I don't really want to call out, but Patrick Reed.
Patrick Reed is winning the race to Dubai at the moment.
Yeah, he's had a few tournaments over there this year.
Tommy Fleetwood's in there. Colin Morikawa was playing. I'm going to go Tommy. Let's go the homeless bloke.
Yeah. What's he going to wear? Is he going to wear Agassi clothing or is he going to wear the stripes again?
Who knows? Might have holes cut out of it. Chapless.
Paul Casey, is he in? Don't know. That's okay. I'll go and have a look at the form, actually. I might go and have a look at the form.
Cyril, Lucas Herbert will be playing over there. There'll be some Aussies in there as well. Probably should know this. DP, I think that was your part to research.
It's Bezuidenhout.
Bezuidenhout.
Bezuidenhout. Apparently you say the hoot like you're a Canadian, Nate. Well, our linguistic expert gave us that advice today. You say the hoot as if you're from Canada. Isn't that right, Steve-O?
As if you're from Canada.
Yeah.
Okay. I promise everybody that Richard Mercer's interview will be next week. Okay? I promise you.
It's like golf days. We're Golf Days Australia. We don't organise golf days. We don't run the Mercer interview ever.
It is.
Let's throw it in there.
And it's worth it, huh?
How long is the Mercer interview? It's not overly long, isn't it?
17 minutes.
We're going an hour and five at the moment.
That's okay. I'm sure we can put that in there.
Okay. Hang on. The Richard Mercer interview next. Don't worry, it's coming.
No. You said that four times in the last two episodes. Steve-O, what are we going to dribble about next week? It's a quick one, because we won't be doing any like next weekers. Can we just add it to next week? Can we have a shortcut next week? Can we? And then add Richie, Dickie Mercer. Can we? Please, Steve-O.
His story's about Seve, and he reenacts Seve's voice as well. Like he does the accent, and it's brilliant. Talks about the 84 Open. Oh. It is a ripper interview. I really think we leave it for the very last episode of the year.
So you're leaving everyone on a cliffhanger. All right. I like it. All right. I'll allow it. Let's crack on for this week, gents. Thanks for having me back. It's been
Can we get the king back for next week?
Let's get Christmas episode. Christmas party.
Yeah.
Golf Days Australia. Christmas party. I think that sounds pretty good. Rolls off the tongue.
We're going to have a couple of weeks off. Yeah, we'll have next week's episode, maybe a couple of weeks off over Chrissy and then rip into the new year. I think that's the plan.
Looking forward to it, gents. It's actually been a real pleasure to be able to get involved in this year. It's been a lot of fun, but we'll save the tears and the tissues for next week before we wrap up for the year. But that's another episode of the Golf Days Australia podcast, gents. Enjoy your golf and we'll see you next week. Adios.
Go, mate.
That's all from me. Thank you. Go the girls.
Go the girls. Steve-O, play the music, son.
All right, let's go.
We're three golf tragics. We're weekend packers, and we love to go with golf. And I think I showed
you guys that on the weekend.
Yes, you did. We'll get to that shortly.